Today, hanging off every signal. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. When it comes to this, markets are febrile at the moment, and the lurch from good to bad, depending on the latest news, bite continues. Such volatility, which is typical at this time of year, is exacerbated by the energy crisis, the supply chain disruptions, and central banks' quantitative easing flooding the markets. And the latest came from the International Monetary Fund, which will next week downgrade its forecasts for 2.9% global growth in 2023, according to Managing Director Cristiana Giudoia, citing rising risks of recession and financial instability. She said the outlook for the global economy was darkening, given the shocks caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and climate disasters on all continents, and it could well get worse.
Koya Saksa. Our world economy is like ship in choppy waters. We need all the wisdom we can muster to steady the ship and navigate through what lies ahead. In less than 3 years, we lived through shock after shock after shock. First, COVID, then Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and climate disasters on all continents. These shocks have caused immense harm on people's lives. Their combined impact is driving a global surge in prices, especially on food and energy, causing a cost of living crisis. And dealing with them is made harder by geopolitical fragmentation. We are experiencing a fundamental shift in the world economy from one of relative predictability with the rules-based framework on international economic cooperation, very low interest rates, low inflation, to a world with more fragility, greater uncertainty, higher economic volatility, geopolitical confrontations, and more frequent and devastating natural disasters. A world in which any country can be thrown off course more easily and more often. So, what can we do to prevent this period of heightened fragility from becoming the new normal, from becoming the world you would be living in? First and foremost, we must stabilize the global economy, steady the ship, by addressing the most immediate challenges. And as we address the crisis of today, we must revitalize global cooperation and transform our economies so they can withstand the shocks to come in the future. And this is why at the IMF, we are calling for early and joint action to regroup and to rethink how can we adopt a more proactive, precautionary mindset than we had in the past, and more willingness to act now and act together. This will be the focus of our annual meetings. When they start next week, you're very familiar for all the arrivals of ministers, delegations. This year, our discussions are so very important for the future we build. So let me start with the urgency to stabilize the economy, given the darkening economic outlook. Last October, we projected a strong recovery from the depths of the COVID crisis, We finished the year with 6.1% global growth, very respectable. And most economists, including we at the IMF, were predicting the recovery to continue, inflation to subside quickly, largely because we expected vaccines will help tame supply-side disruptions and allow the economies to rebound. But this is not what happened. Multiple shocks, among them a senseless war, changed the economic picture dramatically. Far from being transitory, as we thought, inflation is much more persistent. High energy and food prices, tighter financial conditions, lingering supply disruptions decelerate growth. All of the world's largest economies are now slowing down. The euro area is severely affected by the reduction of gas supplies from Russia. China suffers from pandemic-related disruptions and a deepening downturn of their real estate market. And while the US still has a fairly vibrant and strong labor market, momentum is slowing down. Why? Because inflation is reducing disposable income of people, and consumer demand as a result is falling down, and higher interest rates are a drag on investments. This in turn affects emerging markets and developing countries. They face reduced demand for their exports and tighter financial conditions for those of them with high level of dollar-denominated debt. This is pretty dramatic. So what is happening is we have downgraded three times since October last year our growth projections. Last time we brought 22 to 3.2% growth, and for 23 projections was 2.9%. We will see, we always come around the annual meetings with our world economic outlook, that we are further downgrading our growth projections for next year. And we will be flagging that the risks of recession are rising. Our estimate is that one-third of countries around the world, this is the one-third share of the world economy, would experience at least 2 consecutive quarters of contraction this year and next year. And even in countries where growth is positive, for hundreds and millions of people, it would feel like recession because inflation is eating into real incomes. Overall, we expect global output as a result of all this to shrink between now and 2026 by $4 trillion. To give you a sense, what is $4 trillion? This is the size of the German economy. Gone. And unfortunately, I am the natural optimist, but today I stand in front of you and I need to say, more likely to get worse than to get better. In other words, risks are, as we say at the fund, on the downside. Why? Because uncertainty is very high in the context of war and a pandemic that hasn't quite left the scene. And what we see, and this is very concerning, is that financial stability risks are growing. Rapid and disorderly repricing of assets, especially where there are underlying vulnerabilities, can play a dangerous role for financial stability.
So the IMF lowered its 2023 growth forecast from 2.9%, its fourth downward revision this year. That's when it releases its World Economic Outlook next week, she said. Overall, the IMF expects global output to shrink by $4 trillion between now and 2026. Now, that's roughly the size of the German economy and amounts to a massive setback, she added. Wall Street's major indices closed lower on Thursday as concerns mounted ahead of closely watched monthly non-farm payroll numbers due on Friday that the Federal Reserve's aggressive interest rate stance will lead to a recession. The equity market has been slow to acknowledge a consistent message from Fed officials that rates will go higher for longer until the pace of inflation is clearly slowing. Chicago Fed President Charles Evans was the latest to spell out the central bank's outlook on Thursday, saying policymakers expect to deliver 125 basis points of rate hikes before year's end, as inflation readings have been disappointing. Charles Evans said the Fed has further to go, forecasting interest rates to rise to about a range of 4.5 to 4.75%, and flagging ongoing growth in shelter and car prices as key drivers of core inflation. Other Fed members, including Minneapolis Fed President Neil Kroshaki, were also in favor of further tightening, saying the central bank was quite a ways away from pausing rate hikes. The market has been slowly getting the Fed's message, said Jason Pride, Chief Investment Officer for Private Wealth at Glenmead. There's a likelihood that the Fed, with further rate hikes, pushes the economy into a recession in order to bring inflation down, Pride said. We don't think the markets have fully picked up on this. Pride sees a mild recession, but in the average recession, there has been a 15% decline in earnings, suggesting the markets could fall further. The S&P 500 has already declined 22% from its peak on January the 3rd. The labour market remains tight, even as demand begins to cool amid higher rates. And on Friday, the non-farm payroll report on employment in September will help investors gauge whether the Fed alters its aggressive rate hiking plans. Money markets are pricing in an almost 86% chance of a fourth straight 75 basis point rate hike when they meet on November the 1st and 2nd. Not everybody sees a recession, though. Dave Sakura, chief US market strategist at Morningstar, said growth will remain sluggish for the foreseeable future and likely will not start to reaccelerate until the second half of 2023, but he does not see a sharp downturn. We're not forecasting a recession, he said. The markets are looking for clarity as to when they think economic activity will reaccelerate and make the sustained rebound. They're also looking for strong evidence that inflation will begin to really trend down, moving back towards the Fed's 2% target, he said. So the Dow fell on Thursday as investors digested remarks from several Fed officials on the need to stick with the rate hikes to quell inflation ahead of those crucial job reports on Friday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 1.15%, the Nasdaq slipped 0.68%, and the S&P 500 fell 1%. Treasury yields moved higher on the remarks, pushing rate-sensitive sectors of the market like utilities and consumer staples, both of which tend to be used as bond proxies, lower. Tech stocks also faltered, with Microsoft Corporation and Apple falling nearly 1%. Twitter, meanwhile, fell more than 3% after Elon Musk asked a court to pause the tech company's lawsuit against him as he looks to wrap up the deal on or around October the 28th. Tesla fell 1.1% as Apollo Global Management and Sixth Street Partners, which had been looking to provide financing for Elon Musk's $44 billion Twitter deal, are no longer in talks with the billionaire. Alphabet closed basically flat after the launch of Google's new phones and its first smartwatch. Peloton Interactive ended up 4% after pairing losses, as the fitness equipment company said it would cut about 12% of its workforce amid efforts to ramp up its turnaround plans. Energy was the sole sector in the green as oil prices settled more than 1% higher. That's a day after OPEC and its allies, or OPEC Plus, agreed to cut production by, in theory, 2 million barrels a day to support prices. But of course, as we've argued yesterday, probably in reality, it's a smaller cut. The stumble in the broader market comes a day ahead of the monthly job report, which expects to show the economy created around 250,000 jobs last month. But with inflation front and centre, data on how many people enter the labour market, or the participation rate, and wage growth will likely dominate investor attention. With inflation still running at a high rate, people are eating through their savings that they stockpiled over COVID. So there is reason for people to engage more in the labour force, Jeff Hibbler, Director of Portfolio Management at XNL Wealth Advisors, said. A better-than-expected jobs report would be likely interpreted as bad news for stocks, as it could persuade the Fed to remain on the rate hike course until either the Fed starts to slow the pace of tightening or investors can see the light at the end of the tunnel for rate hikes. I would say that good economic news is bad news for stocks, he added. And that's really the point. At the moment, the data that we're seeing is pointing in all sorts of different directions. But the markets are still overly bullish, in my view, and I'm pretty sure that the Fed is going to continue to lift. And the thing that we should be looking for is the reduction in future growth in terms of earnings from those stocks. The reason is that, of course, the valuations on the markets are a multiple of expected future earnings. Now, those future earnings, one, will be discounted by whatever the bond rates are. And if bond rates go higher, that means that they're less valuable into the future. And two, with probably a slowing economy and maybe a recession, the ability to generate revenue will also be on the nose. Factor those two things in the equation, and it seems to me quite likely that we're going to see lower price valuations, and that means lower stock values. And here we are in early October, another 3 weeks or so before we'll know what happens at the end of the month, but chances are prices will be lower. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.